Hello, my name is Edgar King and I'm the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
This morning we just pray for an increase right now in our hearts of you. And Jesus, we worship you. We worship who you are. We worship your name, Jesus. We worship your Father. We worship you, Jesus, and we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. And we don't get tired of praising you, God. We love you. So more of you, Jesus, right now. We invite you into the spaces of our hearts, God, that feel just dull, that feel empty. Awaken our souls. Awaken our souls in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thank you for you're so good, God. And all praise goes back to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He's so good. So, so good. So today, I want us to talk about how we were designed to praise God, both now, but also and forever. We were designed to praise God now and for eternity. And eternity is sometimes something that we find difficult to get our heads around. Sometimes we find it difficult to think that we will praise God forever and ever, you know? But I want us to talk about that today because it's something that has really changed me when I discovered more about how we praise God for eternity. So I was going through a period in my life where everything had just come together for me. I really felt like my life had really just reached where God had called me to. This was a few years ago now, and I really felt like everything I wanted, God was giving me. Everything was there. And there was just blessings after blessings after blessings, and I felt so fulfilled and complete. But within the space of 2 weeks, all of that fell away. All of that, it was like it folded up bit by bit to the point where you couldn't even see any of the blessings, any of the things that had happened. And it was really, really challenging for me in my faith. It really challenged me to think, now, what are you doing, God? Because I saw your blessings and I saw your provision and I saw everything that I had ever wanted. And through circumstances I couldn't control, it was folded up and it was taken away. At least that's what I thought. And it sent me into this sort of period of about 6 months, really having to question things and seek God. I think sometimes we reach these points and we think, oh, I'll never question this again. And then suddenly something happens, and it's like it's a lifelong journey of learning who God is and how we trust and follow him. And so I was listening to a lot of things online. There were different worship movements around the world that I really wanted to get close to God. And so I was listening to these worship leaders pouring their hearts out about how they connect to God, because I felt like my connection, I felt like it had been like confused. I felt like I didn't know how to connect with what I was seeing around me. And one of the guys that I listened to, he was speaking about the book of Revelation in the Bible. And this is a book that I'm sure some of us know of, but sometimes it's not very easy to read all the time. I hadn't been reading it in my daily reading at that time. And he was speaking about this book and how it speaks about us praising God forever and about how we need to know about that now. And it really totally changed my relationship with God at that time. When I went to this book and I read parts of it, it completely changed and completely, like, solidified my faith in God. And it did something to my spirit. It wasn't really in my mind, it was in my spirit. And so from then until now, I go back to that book regularly. And I regularly read parts of it that we're going to delve into today. So let's go there together today and see what God is saying to all of us collectively today. So there was this guy called John, and John knew Jesus. And John, at this time, was on an island called the Island of Patmos. And he was just there. He had been exiled. It says that he was exiled there. He was sent away there because of the testimony of Jesus. So we could maybe guess that he was maybe sent there because he'd been telling too many people about Jesus, and they sent him away. It doesn't exactly say why he was there, apart from that he was there because of the testimony of Jesus. So I want to encourage those of us who feel like maybe you feel like you're on an island in this season. Maybe you feel like, what is every day about for me? What is happening for me? Why do I feel like I'm isolated? Why do I feel like I can't go out with my friends the way I could? I'm struggling. I don't know what's happening in my life day to day. Well, John was sitting on this island, and he received one of the most powerful visions that is ever recorded in the Bible. He received visions of heaven. He received visions from God that told him about the things that were to come. And not only that, he then wrote them out, and we still read them today. And they still change us today. So whatever you're going through, God can do something. Whether you feel isolated, whether you feel like I am literally an island, nobody knows me, I don't have friends, whatever you feel, God can do the most powerful things when we seek him in every single time. And so what I want to do is just read the first three verses of this book, because it gives us a context as to what we're going to be looking at today. So Revelation 1, 1 to 3, it says this: "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and who take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy." So prophecy is something that is to come, something that is speaking of the end. And it says, blessed are those who read aloud these words. So I'm sitting in my room at this time, feeling like God was far away. I was confused about promises, about circumstances. And I got some parts of this book, and I started reading them aloud, just in my room. It started to feel a little bit crazy at the beginning, but wow, there was power. There was power when I read these words aloud. And it made me think how funny that it actually says that. Blessed are those who read aloud the words of this prophecy. Because there's power. There's power in these words. And that's why Jesus sent it. It says that Jesus sent these words through John for the people of God, for us, for the people that are going to be part of the things that are to come. And it says, blessed are those who hear it. Blessed are those who hear these words. Doesn't say blessed are those necessarily who understand it. It doesn't say blessed are those who have a theological degree in Revelation and can understand it. It doesn't say blessed are those with a high IQ who these words make sense to. It says, blessed are those who hear it. Now, all those other things are really good, and they're really, really powerful, and people that do those things have really deep experiences and understanding of God. But the point I'm making is, blessed are those who hear. This is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are those who hear this and who take it to heart. Blessed are those who hear these words and who take them to heart, because the time is near. And some of these words that we're going to read today, it's like they're in a different language. It's like they're in a language of heaven. They have a lot of pictures. Some of them are very symbolic. And we're not going to understand all of it immediately. But like it says, blessed are those who read it aloud, who hear it, and who take it to heart. Those are the three things that we're required to do. Read it aloud, hear it, and take it to heart. And when you're learning a different language, like for example, when I came to learn Swahili, I didn't understand it immediately. And sometimes when that happens, when you're in a room with people who are all speaking in a language you don't understand, you're tempted to walk away. But when you sit and you continue to listen and you continue to listen, in language learning we call it immersion, when you sit and you just immerse yourself in the words, they will begin to make sense to you. That was the way that Swahili came for me, was through listening, 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 listening. And I believe that this language of heaven, we may never fully on earth understand every part of what it talks about, but I believe as we listen, as we read, as we hear, it will begin to make sense to us in our spirits, in our hearts, and then it will be in our minds. So what did John see? Well, the book says that John saw a door opening to heaven. A door opening to heaven. And there's all these descriptions of how it looked, and there was like this rainbow and all these beautiful things. But the thing I want us to focus on today is there was a throne. John saw a throne in heaven. And it's interesting because it's not just John who ever saw this throne. Throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, there are prophets who write about, I saw a throne. They were taken up in their spirits, and they suddenly were like, there's a throne, I see a throne. And even in the New Testament, there was a guy called Stephen who was around soon after Jesus went back to heaven. And he was being killed, he was being stoned because he knew about Jesus and because he gave his life for Jesus and they didn't like it. And as he was being stoned and as he was beginning to go to heaven, he shouted out, I see the glory of God and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So these are things that it's not just one person has seen this. Many people over the Bible and indeed even today have visions of this throne and of Jesus. And this is what John saw. He also saw these things called living creatures and elders. Now we're getting into the heavenly language here. And today what we want to focus on is the worship that these living creatures and elders gave. We're not going to focus on who they are or what they are, but they are heavenly beings around this throne that John saw. And we're going to read now about how they worship God. Revelation 4, 9 to 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and they have their being. Words are so, so powerful in this book. So we've got these 24 elders around the throne. And John says that he saw they had crowns on their heads. So I want you to imagine for a minute that you're in heaven and you're given a crown. Like, that's like the biggest honor you could ever have. To be in heaven and to be given a crown to put on your head. And to be sitting around the throne where God is and you've been given a crown. But the thing that really struck me here is that they lay their crowns before the throne. It's not to say they don't value the crown. It's not to say the crown isn't important. It's to say before him, seeing him who's seated on the throne, their crowns, they just want to put them before him. They just want to say, all of this you've given to me, I give it to you. And that's the essence of worship. That's what we've been talking about for all the different times that we've been speaking about the different people in the Bible who worship God. There's this theme that they see him, something of him, they sense something of him, and something changes. And they realize it's all about him. It's all about him. We talked in the first week about Peter, and he's in the middle of a stormy sea, but he sees Jesus, and suddenly everything else becomes irrelevant to him, even his own safety. because he's so amazed by what he can see. And we read about Paul and Silas, how they were in prison, and they were in prison for telling people about Jesus. And they could have been angry, but instead they seemed to have this sense of something higher that caused them to drop everything they were feeling and praise him. We talked about Job and how Job lost everything in his life, everything he had been given, he lost it. And all he could do was say, but my praise goes back to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We talked about David and how David saw God and was celebrating in God to the point where he danced like what some people might see as a crazy person in front of his friends, because he saw God. He saw and he experienced something, and he lifted his focus and it changed him. Even last week, our worship pastor George was speaking about how he struggled through his life with a stammering problem, and then he came to understand about worship and about looking to God and about singing, and how looking to God changed him and continues to change him. Even these heavenly beings, they see God, they're in heaven, they've reached, but they suddenly see him and they go, you know what? This crown, I lay it before you. That's the essence of worship, and these words change me and change how I want to worship God, because I realize whatever we're given, when we lay it down, it's not saying it's not important, it's not saying we're not thankful for it, it's saying you are worthy. That's what these creatures said. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will, they were created and they have their being. And we talked last week as well about how Jesus is our way to get into that throne room. Jesus is our way. We might feel like we're not worthy. We might feel ashamed. But when we know Jesus, when we know the one who has made the way for us to go right in there, right inside that throne room with God, that is our way. That is the one who changes us and who enables us to go before God. And in this book, like I said, it's heavenly language. John sees a lot of different symbolic images. And one that he sees is of this lamb. He sees this lamb, but the lamb has been slain. The lamb has been slaughtered. And that lamb is actually reference to Jesus, is reference to Jesus and his sacrifice for us. And the lamb is actually seated in heaven with God on that throne. And the reason that the lamb is still there and the lamb is still slaughtered until this day is because we are then able to go before God because of his sacrifice. That sacrifice is remembered in heaven until this day. You can never go before God ashamed and think, oh, maybe God forgot that Jesus was sacrificed for my sins. Maybe God forgot that Jesus took all the punishment for my sickness. That lamb is there in heaven, and this book speaks about it. And right now, I really feel that we're just going to keep reading parts of this book just to get into this thing of reading aloud the words of this prophecy, just to awaken our spirits. And before I read this bit, I'm just going to pray again that God would just awaken us. So God, we just thank you for the words that you're speaking. We thank you for your throne, God. Jesus, we worship you. We worship that you are seated on a throne. We worship you, Father God. And we say you are holy and you are worthy to receive all glory and honor and thanks and praise. And may all the praise this morning be yours, Jesus. May all the praise go back to you this morning, God. And Jesus, we ask right now through these words that you would reveal to us our eternal destiny in you, who we are in you, who we are designed to be, that we are designed to be worshipers of your glory for now and all eternity. We ask that you would open our ears and enable us to hear these things by the power of your Holy Spirit, for there is no other power and there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Revelation 7, 9 to 17. This is John speaking. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they that have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That last bit, I don't even know, like, what do you even say when God's telling us that our eternal destiny is that we will be praising God forever like we are now, and indeed we get tastes of these things even now when we praise God, but it's saying, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun won't beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, for Jesus, at the center of the throne, he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And my prayer is that from that, even if some of it is language that is confusing, that there will be something in our hearts that goes, "Come, Lord Jesus." There will be something in our hearts that hears that and goes, "Let your kingdom come." Because this is what this is speaking of. And it's our identity. It's what we were designed to be. And on this earth, like I say, when we praise God, we get these experiences that are similar to this. Sometimes we can feel so sheltered by his presence. Sometimes we can feel like we came to church hungry, sometimes even physically hungry and are fed, but also spiritually hungry. And we're saying, "God, I need you, I need you." And he fills us. Sometimes we can feel thirsty. We can feel like, "I need a drink from the living water of God. Where can I find this living water?" And we come, or even we sit before God by ourselves and we worship, and we can feel like we've been filled. But all of these things will be eternal. They will be things that are with us for eternity, and we will experience them forever and ever and ever. And John also speaks about us. These people that we're talking about before the throne, these people that have come out of the great tribulation, that are standing before the throne of God and that are being sheltered by his presence forever. John speaks of us in a way, again, that is very symbolic. He speaks of us, the church, as being the bride of Jesus. You may have heard that term before, being the bride of Christ. And when we think about a bride in these days, you know when there's a bride that you see. And even before she has her dress on, even before she's on her wedding day, she's gushing about the groom. Like, every second word is his name. Everything that she wants to talk about is the groom, is the groom. Oh, but he's this, and he's that. Oh, don't worry, he'll fix this for me. He'll do this for me. He's wonderful. That's our praise to God. That's our praise that we are being prepared as a church to be the bride of Jesus. Our praise is like we're gushing as these people are saying, "But we know Jesus. Yeah, but this is happening, but we know Jesus." You know? And even the groom, Jesus, he's looking at us and he's so proud. I think sometimes we think these days God sees the world and he sees everything bad, but God also sees his bride being prepared. Each one of our lives individually, making up this bride that will be given to Jesus in those last days. When we praise God, he's like, "Look at my bride. Look at her. Look how she's getting herself ready for me. Look at how she's putting on these white garments. And in this book it says her white garments are the good things that she does. So all the good things we do, how we praise God every day with kindness, how we praise God every day with loving people, how we praise God with a thankful heart. Jesus is looking at us going, wow, wow, I'm coming to take you, my bride. I'm coming. And again, this is symbolic language, but it does something to my spirit. I don't know about you. It really does to think that God is that pleased with us and that when we praise him, it's that beautiful to him. It's like a bride getting ready for her wedding day. And we experience these things much like a couple that's about to get married. You know each other a little bit. You know things about each other, but the fullness of your union will be when you are married. That's when you will know each other. You will spend the rest of your life together. And it's the same here. We experience these things when we're praising God. We experience the good things. But in eternity, we will experience them forever and ever and ever. And it's what we were designed to do. The last part I want to read today is Revelation 22, 8 to 9. And this is the end of the book. And I love the honesty of the Bible, because this guy, John, he just tells it like it is. He tells exactly what happened. And he doesn't mind how maybe people think of him. So you'll understand when I read it. He said this: I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. Don't do that, the angel said. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keeps the words of this book. Worship God. So John's like so confused. He's on this island and he's just seen all these things. And he's like, oh, you're the one who showed them to me. And he bows down and worships an angel. And he doesn't mind telling us that. He's telling us the real story of what he saw and what happened. And he says, I worshiped an angel. Because I saw these things and it blew my mind, and I thought that was who I should worship. Don't we sometimes do that today? God gives us something amazing and we think, oh, I'm going to just give all the praise back to the person who gave me it because it was from them, not realizing it was from God through them. Sometimes even people that are ministering to you, you can feel like, oh, thank you so much, this is amazing, and it's good to thank people, but it's to remember all the praise and everything that is being shown to you and revealed to you is coming from God. And so all the praise goes back to God. This angel said, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant. I'm like you. Don't do that. Praise God. And again, there's this theme throughout this prophecy that is talking about everything going back to God. You have a crown on your head, and they see the one who is on the throne, and they say, it goes here. That's its rightful place. John goes, oh, the angel showed me these things. Wow. And the angel says, no. It all points back to him. And that's why when we do what we were designed to do, when we praise God in the way we were designed to, whatever situation we've talked in the series about how situations can change, but praise to God remains the same. When we look to God and we say, whatever's happening, you are on that throne, you are holy, it changes everything, and it is because that's what we were designed to do. And also, if these visions seem like new or confusing, something I do when I'm struggling to see God, when I'm struggling to worship him, and I'm worshiping and I'm looking at him, but I'm actually seeing all these other things that are happening to me, it's saying, okay, there's actually things written in this book about him. There's actually things written about what this guy John saw. And if I choose to be obedient and say, I'm going to let my spirit hear this, I'm not going to worry about my mind, God will reveal it to me, but I'm going to read it. There's parts in this book where it talks about seeing this man with eyes like flames of fire and with feet like bronze, and these things are so beyond us, but yet they actually resonate with our spirits because we know Jesus and we have his spirit inside of us. And when we read that, then we say, okay, God, so I'm worshiping you. I'm worshiping the one who has eyes like fire. Show me yourself, Jesus. That's something that I've found really helpful over time, and I really, really feel that it's what God is calling us to lay everything down at the feet of Jesus and to seek him with all our hearts. To seek him, like George spoke about last week, Jesus is the object of our worship. Jesus is the one that we worship, and when we worship him and when we look to him, we will truly be worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We will truly be worshiping him with all our lives, and we will find that we feel free. We will find that we feel lighter because we're doing what we were designed to do. I'm going to invite the band back up now, and we're going to have some time to just sing and praise God and worship God. But I want to challenge us today about the crowns that we were talking about. So these are crowns that these men in heaven, or these people in heaven, were given. But I believe even today, sometimes we have crowns. Sometimes we have things that are really, really good things. They're not bad things. But we want to just make sure that our worship is going to God and God alone. We want to make sure that these things, when we see Him, when we see Him and who He is and His power, that these things praise Him along with us. That these things don't control us. And I really felt like God was saying we need to lay down our crowns. We need to lay down maybe even expectations, maybe not crowns. Maybe expectations, maybe things we hoped for. Maybe things that we're still waiting for. A bit like I spoke about my personal story. I was waiting for a lot of things that didn't happen for me. But I decided to read this book and to be engaged with Him who's on the throne, to be looking to Him. And I say that like it's an easy thing. It's not. It's not, but He is the one who enables us. He is the one who enables us to say, I'm going to put my focus on You, God. And if there's other things, take me to this book. Take me back to learn where You are. Take me back, even not this book, even like the Psalms, any of the books in the Bible, but particularly I would say the Psalms as well, are really good for this. Just pouring out your heart, but saying, God, I just feel like I don't know where I am, but I want to know where You are. There's a psalm I just remembered now, Psalm 13. At the beginning it says about God, why have You abandoned me? Why have You forsaken me? Like we've said in this series, we can bring where we are at to God. And before God, Jesus is there. So any of our shame, any of our doubts, it's okay to still go before God with those things because Jesus has covered us. He's paid for our sins. And through going before Him in that way, it then says at the end of that psalm, I will praise the Lord because He has been good to me. So we find when we go there with what we have, and when we lay down our burdens, and also even the good things that God's given us, and we lay them before the throne, we find peace, we find joy, and we're sheltered in His presence. So we're just going to sing a song now called We Fall Down. It's about